Not great news is the heat and the crazy dry conditions out there. The president of the Manitoba Beef Producers joins us on the phone now, Tyler Fulton. Tyler, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you for coming on. How bad is it out there for you and your members?
It's terrible. Yeah, it's like a convection oven out there, and it's deteriorating very quickly. We've got scenarios where there are farmers that are without pasture now for their animals, so they're already feeding at a time when typically that would never be done. And we've got hay production that's down to a fraction of what average levels are, and wells and dugouts that are going dry. And it's fairly widespread. There are some areas that are a disaster region already, but it is fairly widespread across the southern portion of the province.
Yeah, you're near Birtle, I think, and I know Armstrong was sort of the latest RM to declare a disaster based on this, and this has now been several years of this, right, Tyler? I mean, it's probably worse now than it's been, but I mean, we have been hearing about drought conditions, dugouts, and a lack of feed for, as I said, several years.
Yeah, that's right. The context of this is you're right, about a 3-year stint here, but we are now at levels that we haven't seen for decades. It's getting dire in particular circumstances where there's a shortage of feed, and we're going to be forced. Well, there is already some really tough decision making that's happening at the farm level, where guys are forced to sell their animals, and not just animals that they would have otherwise been selling in the fall. We're talking about their productive capacity, their breeding stock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then help the city slickers out that are listening. So when that happens, and then if, a lot of producers start to sell animals, prices go down. I mean, give us a sense of just how financially devastating this can be.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's a really extreme draw or reduction in the equity in your operation. So what happens is as a cow-calf operation ourselves, we have cows that give birth every year, and we sell the calves typically, and that's typically what gets fed out and goes into, providing beef, wholesome beef for all of us across Canada and abroad. But when we see a disaster situation like this, where we can't produce enough pasture and feed to even support just the cows, the older cows that are producing the calves, we're forced to possibly sell some of that to reduce the size of our herd. And that has implications not just in this year, but in future years. We're talking 2, 3, 5 years out. It has impacts on really the viability of our operations. So that's the kind of scenario that we're dealing with right now, and as you said, when everybody is forced to make the same decision at the same time, it causes a glut in supply that results in just huge pressure on prices. So it's really near impossible to be able to maintain the equity in your operation because you're taking such a hit on selling those animals.
Yeah, you're dumping them at fire sale prices, and how do you come back from that, right? You are yourself a beef producer, obviously, as I said, near Birtle, and you talk to your members. Are there some that are saying it's been 3 years of drought, at least, and we're seeing conditions at a point we haven't seen in a long, long time, longer than that? Are there some that are just saying, that's it, I'm done?
Yeah, we are seeing that now. Honestly, Hal, the mental toll that's being taken out in the countryside right now, in some of those areas that are, that are going on 3 years of really, very limited forage production, is unbelievable. It's just extremely stressful knowing that, you've effectively run the operation as a family farm or ranch You know, most of our members, have a history, a family history of one, two, three generations having farmed that same land. And when you're faced with such a economic failure as what some individuals are looking at, it's just really tough to take.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to get to questioning you about government help and what you're hearing from the province. But let me ask you this. Are we beyond help? I mean, there is no rain in the forecast, right? We've got temperatures this weekend, again, getting into the mid-30s. I was talking about my weather expert buddy, Bruce Johnson, who says we'll see, but a week out or thereabouts, there's one day where it could get into the mid-40s. I mean, this isn't ending. Will a good rain, and there isn't one in the forecast, but would a good rain help, or is it just too late for that?
It depends on the area for sure. There are some areas that a good rain will help kind of finish up some, you know, crops like, some cereals that we could take for silage, that we can use barley to feed our animals in the wintertime. We're going to have to be looking at really innovative solutions to try to get through this for the animals that will be able to stick around. But for many areas, you're right, it's the writing is already on the wall. There's already animals that have moved and scheduled sales that wouldn't, you know, that have never really been done at this time of year before. So it's a bit of a mixed bag that way. A rain, nobody is gonna turn that away. But to some degree, the die has already been cast as far as what this year looks like, and it's just a matter of trying to deal with the consequences as best we can.
Tyler, what are the innovative solutions that you talk about? What's being discussed, and what's the province saying? What is the ag minister telling you from over on Broadway? Anything?
Yeah, so right now we did have a really good. We've had now several discussions with the government over the course of the last couple months, even. But really recently, I guess the minister expressed a major concern and a desire to try to save, in his words, the mama cow herd, which makes a lot of sense. But to some degree, you know, we're going to end up seeing a reduction, I think they're really warm to some solutions. So one of the things that we're working on right now is trying to facilitate those agreements between crop producers and livestock producers to help make that decision to utilize a crop that would otherwise not be economically viable to harvest with a combine, but be able to make use of it by baling it up as green feed for livestock operations. So what that means is the crop producer would go to crop insurance and ask for them to get their crop adjusted, estimated as to what the yield would be, and then switch it to alternate use so that we can actually salvage some of the value that's out there. We know that there's a ton of cereal crops that are just burning up right now, and we're at a critical point in time that we can, you know, livestock guys can still make use of some of that crop if we can get it knocked down and bailed up, and it would go a long way to mitigating some of the effect of that. From a longer term perspective, the minister has acknowledged that we're going to need some help in the beef sector, and so Manitoba Beef Producers has been working to I guess design or come up with some details as to what the big ask is, and I think we're likely looking at an agri recovery program that would be used to address the real effects of the disaster on beef producers here.
Mm-hmm. And any word on when we might hear an announcement on that? And then back to the idea you were talking about. That's a pretty good idea. Have you ever seen anything like that before, where farm growers are helping, you know, beef producers and ranchers? Have you ever seen anything like that before? I think that's a pretty good idea. You sort of help each other through a real tough time.
Yeah, I mean, we're obviously a tight community in ag circles, you know, we all, whether we're beef or sheep or crop farmers, we're all kind of feel like we're in this together. And we live in the same communities. So it's what I hope will be, you know, really groundbreaking with this is just the sheer volume of product that we'll be able to do. In the past, we've seen a huge effort. There was a program called Hay West, which brought in hay from Ontario and Quebec by truck and by rail to address feed shortages in Manitoba. And so not only in Manitoba, but right across the country, there's this community that really wants us all to, you know, to manage through these disaster scenarios.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, I know, and then you add in a pandemic on top of that, right? Like, I mean, it's just, you know, and we're tired of hearing this, but just unprecedented times.
Yeah. No, you've hit the nail on the head. We're really, you know, just kind of, it's coming at us from all sides. It seems like a perfect storm. It's difficult, you know, to find feed alternatives when, you know, when some of the commodity prices are just extremely high, right? It's just, it does not pencil out to keep a cow around if you have to pay record prices to be able to do that. And so it really forces some tough decisions. And I want to make it clear, I'm really confident that individual producers will be, you know, are resilient and resourceful. They'll do the best they can, and first and foremost, they'll make sure that the health and well-being of the animals is at the forefront.
I have no doubt in my mind. Hey, and Tyler, listen, you did a really good job today of explaining it. So that people maybe that don't really understand your industry all that clearly can, I think, get it. And you did a great job with that. So you're a fine representative for your beef producers here in Manitoba, and I wish each and every one of you all the best. And please keep us posted, okay?
I appreciate that. Thanks very much. And absolutely, it's important for everybody, the whole public, to know, you know, what's being felt on the countryside. So we do feel well supported by you.
Cool. Tyler, thank you. Talk to you soon.
Yeah, thanks. Bye-bye.
Tyler Fulton is the president of the Manitoba Beef Producers. They are having an incredibly difficult time right now. All farmers are. All producers are. 147.